Psalm 67, and it's a short psalm. I'll read the whole psalm. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. O, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations of the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Amen. God be merciful to us and bless us. Our title could be that. God be merciful to us and bless us. Cause your face to shine upon us. And we will go through these verses, just verse by verse, and we will see some wonderful truths. We will learn spiritual applications. I was listening to a lecture recently, and a comment was that today many of the study Bibles don't bring out the spiritual truths, the practical application, what the scripture is saying. Rather, they just bring out times and places and historical facts, geography and history. But God's word is not just geography and history. God's word is eternal. It is life. It is something which will be meat indeed and milk indeed to us, nourishment to the weary soul. And that's what we are going to receive from God's word today, light to all of those who sit in darkness. So rather, scripture or the Bible is not just an ordinary book of facts. It is an inspired, infallible, and pure book. It is a holy book, and it's a book that never changes from generation to generation. His word is settled forever in heaven. We begin with Psalm 67 and verse 1. It's a song or a prayer. May God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine on us. And our first heading is God be merciful to us. Today, mercy has really lost some of the depth of its meaning. We tend to think of mercy in the context of a court of law and the prisoner being shown mercy or pardon by a judge or some authorities. Yet it's much more than just cold acquittal. Mercy is the marrow or the heart of the word. The original word merciful is suggestive of one stooping down and bending down forward toward the weak in order to bless them. That's a picture of mercy. Our God, who is greater than us, stooping down to bless us. And the psalm begins with a cry for mercy. And the foundation, the beginning of our spiritual life is always a cry for mercy. It's the first link in the chain of mercies. Mercy is one of the foundations of our salvation. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high has visited us. What does it mean, the dayspring? It means the dawn has risen upon us. We that sat in darkness, a light has shined amongst us. A light has risen amongst us. The Lord has shown mercy to us. And we begin to acknowledge our need for mercy. We ask. We can never approach God thinking that we have a claim of merit. Oh Lord, you know, I'm so good. I go to church so often, I'm entitled, I deserve an audience. No, we never deserve an audience. We are granted an audience because of the mercy of the Lord. Remember the publican that was crying out, and the publican standing afar off, he would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, and he smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God is merciful and he will bless us. These blessings that he gives us are tangible, and he's faithful to pour blessing upon us. And the blessings that God gives us are not just temporal. Some of them are eternal. When God blesses, he enriches us indeed. His blessings are gifts and deeds. And the greatest love, of course, we know this, that was shown to mankind, was he sent in mercy his only begotten Son, that whosoever may believe in him shall receive eternal life. And this mercy that came to us, changed us and brought us out of death into life. It brought us out from being lost to being found, from hopeless to having hope, from having no foundation to having a foundation. This is what mercy did for us. And yet some, when you talk of blessing, they only think of blessing in the context of temporal things, of things that can be touched and seen. Yes, God does bless us with temporal things day by day. Things like provision, food, protection, guidance. Those are not the things that our hearts crave the most. Our hearts crave for more than just earthly blessings. We crave that we may have his favor. We crave for his companionship. We crave for his smile and approval upon our lives. In other words, his face shining upon our life. Right here we see in this verse, we see three petitions are seen. And the petition, some people call this the basis of prayer. Number one, be merciful unto us. Number two, bless us. And number three, cause your face to shine upon us. Three petitions. Cause your face to shine upon us. Another way of saying that is, let your presence radiate upon us. May thy face smile upon us. That is, God, by his grace, qualify us for his favor and give us tokens of his favor. We need nothing more than that in order to make us happy. We need nothing more than that to be complete. Oh, how complete we are when we have God's favor and God's face shining upon us and God's love poured upon us. The fact that we know that we are his children, loved by him. We are his very own children, washed and justified by his precious blood. This is indeed one of the greatest blessings. So these three petitions, they include all that we need, both now and forever. And this verse is regarded as a prayer for Israel, but it's also a prayer for the Christian church in the gospel age. Every church, every believer has the right to pray, God bless us. Notice, it is not God bless me, it is God bless us. Bless us. Don't just bless me. It would be very wrong for the love of God to end where it begins. the love of God comes into our lives, and if it just ends with us, ends in our church, ends in our life, as it does in some, that would be wrong. One of the old writers puts it in a very beautiful way. He says, our love must make long marches, and our prayers must have a wide sweep. They are not just for us. The love of God is not just for us. It must make long marches. We must pray for others, not just ourselves. We must embrace the whole world in our intercessions. And this leads us on to the next verse, verse 2. I'll read the verse, Psalm 67 and verse 2. So that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. This is the love of God being shared amongst all the nations. I read something that the showers of rain, and we know it because we live in the shadow of the mountain, we see it raining on the mountain, and sometimes it's not raining down here. But that rain flows down the mountain. The showers of rain first fall on the mountain, and afterwards the streams flow to the valleys. So it is, the blessing of the Lord comes upon the church, comes upon God's people, and then it flows down to others. And that's why God blesses us, some for us and some for others. The lost or the ignorant, they need to know that they can too be saved. They need to know that the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is for them. Let his name be famous over the whole earth. Let his name be spread over all the nations. This is what the nations need, but so many don't know it. So many don't realize what they need is salvation. Even they don't desire it, they don't seek it. But our prayer and our labor should be, according to this psalm, that the knowledge of salvation might become widespread over the nations, might become as widespread as the light of the sun. When the sun comes up in the morning, there's not a single place that is hidden from the sun. Oh, may the gospel be the same. Verse 3, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples thank you. Cause them to own thy goodness and have an understanding, and let their eyes be opened that they may thank you with all their hearts, that they may adore to see the goodness of the Lord, that this grace would so abound towards the peoples that it would cause much praise. This is expressed as a prayer in our translation, and it is indeed a prayer, but in the original Hebrew, it was a prophecy, not a prayer. And the prophecy was that there would come a light. Into the darkness would come a light, and this light would shine in the darkness. And we know that that light is Jesus Christ. To them that were sitting in darkness, a great light has come, and his name is Jesus. And may his name be lifted up in all the earth, and may the people see his goodness and thank him and understand what he has done for them. Verse 4, O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the peoples righteously and govern the nations of the earth. Selah. Let the nations know, let the people know God's great salvation. Only when they know will they sing. They will not have anything to sing about unless they know of God's great salvation. Nothing is so quick to create a lasting and an abiding joy and a gladness in the hearts of men as salvation from the Lord. No person, no nation can ever be glad until they know the Good Shepherd, until they know what the Lord has done for them. Oh, and then when they know, such floods of joy will fill their hearts. They will, that they are redeemed. There will be an overflow in their hearts. And this overflow will vent itself and sing of the goodness of the Lord. And when will this song begin? When will the groans and murmurs and strugglings be exchanged for holy hymns and joyful songs? It will be exchanged when the Lord governs righteously. When the Lord rules, every heart will praise Him. This is what this is saying. It's speaking of a time coming when the Lord will reign and the Lord will govern, and every heart will sing and praise Him forever and forever, forevermore. Psalm 67, verse 5. Let the peoples give thanks to you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. Let the peoples praise you. Well, this sounds like just a repetition. He's already said that in the verse before. But it's not really a repetition. The psalmist's heart is full to overflow. It's overflowing with joy. He hardly knows how to contain it. He must sing again of the goodness of the Lord. And this is what happens to us. We can be so overcome with the goodness of the Lord that we must just repeat it and sing again. We too have an abundance, a reason to praise God for His mercies. His mercies which are new every day, His mercies which are fresh every day, His mercies which are as high as the heavens, His mercies which are sure and never fail, His mercy which rescued me from a life of sin. Oh, what a wonderful abundance and reasons to praise Him. We overflow with gratefulness. We overflow and we give praise unto Him that He has loved us and washed us from our sins by His own precious blood. And He pardoned us from all the vanities and all the errors, and He brought us into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have a lot to thank Him for. Consider all He has done for you, all He has given, all He has planned for you in eternity. Oh, we begin to see there is a lot to thank Him for. He's given Himself for us. And we have His boundless fullness. He hasn't held back. He's given us fullness and richness, and we shall possess it forever and forever. What a wonderful, wonderful Lord He is. Let's move on to verse 6. The earth shall yield its increase, and God, our own God, shall bless us. How precious is it that we can say this, my own God, my own God. He has made me His own child. I was reading that many years ago, Spurgeon compiled a hymn book for the church. And he wanted a name for this hymn book, and he called it Our Own Hymn Book. And he wanted it to, hoping that the very name would weave affections into owning one of those hymn books. Well, we have our own Bibles, and our own Bibles are precious to us. But more than that, can we say our own God? Words fail to express the joy that are in these words, the everlasting covenant that he gave himself to us with all of his attributes. And he's our portion forever and ever. He's our own God. He chose me. I didn't choose him. And he chose me from the foundation of the earth. Even before the world, he chose me. Our own God. Our own God to trust. Our own God to love. Ours to love. Ours to run to. In every dark, troubled night, we have our own God that we can go to. Ours to commune with every day. Ours to guide us in life. Every step of the way, he guides us. Ours in death. Ours forever. Power, his power, keeping and guiding our steps. His love, comforting our lives, enriching us with his every attribute, far above the wealth that this world could ever offer. How blessed is it that we can say, my own God. It is favor beyond anything that this world can offer. Psalm 67, verse 7, God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. We keep our eyes upon this promise. God shall bless us. He is our God, and his mercies are very tender. He has promised to do it in his word, and he delights to make good his promise. He's our God by covenant. He's our God by our spiritual rebirth through Jesus Christ. He is the great God who fills the heavens and the earth. And he is the God that has all resources in himself. The unchanging God who is eternally the same. Yet although we have this wonderful promise, although he is our own God, how little use we make of this promise. How little use we make of God himself. We seldom ask him for counsel when we have a problem. We strangely run to people for help. How often we go about our plans and our businesses without even seeking his guidance, without seeking and asking for his wisdom. When we are faced with troubles and difficulties, we try to carry the load ourselves. We try to bear the burdens. We try to be strong instead of casting them upon the Lord that he may help us. This is not because we may not. This is not because God's ear is shut. This is not because God doesn't have mercy. He has given us free access to his storehouse of abundant help, a place where we can obtain mercy and find help in a time of need. And if we don't make use of this tremendous privilege and access that we have to our God, then it is our own fault not to make use of the riches that God has made available to us. And then he goes on to say, since we have a friend, let us draw daily from our God. Let us never fear and faint while we have God to help us. Go to him often in prayer because he is your God. Will you not make use of this great privilege? Will you carry your own loads? Will you try to work it out in your own wisdom? Run to him. Tell him what you want. If some dark cloud has come upon you, God is our bright and shining light. He is the solution. If a strong enemy has come against you, God is your shield. Run to him, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give you grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. If you've lost your way and you're unsure where to turn, he is our guide. He will direct us. We are so undeserving, but God is so committed to us. He adopted us as his very own, and he will show us the customs of the kingdom. He will teach us his ways. He will hold us steady. He will share with us his treasure. He dignifies us. He ennobles us. And he proves himself gracious and merciful over and over. He blesses us indeed. And if others curse us, he turns that curse into a blessing. We can fully rest, and we can rest assured on this pleasing fact: God, even our own God, will bless us. He has done so much in Christ before time, before we were even born. He ordained that we should be saved. He promised to do so much for us through time. In the presence of our enemies, he has set a table. And he has promised to do so much when time shall be no more. In eternity, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. Our blessings are reserved in him forevermore. Forever. Where no rust can destroy, no moth can eat, no thief can break in and steal. We have eternity to enjoy these eternal blessings and enjoy the wonderful presence of our own God and see him face to face. He will bless us wherever we are. Let us believe this fact and ask in prayer for the realization of this in everything that we are facing in our daily lives. When we realize that he is our God, that his ear is open to our cries, that he will indeed bless us, this will inspire us no matter how dangerous it is. This will strengthen us against all fears. This will keep us in perfect peace. Let us trust in him. And he will bless us, and we will rejoice. Let us also have a yearning for the salvation of mankind. The yearning that God shall bless us, but also the yearning that God shall bless all the ends of the earth. We ask for gifts of grace for us, that they may be transmitted through us to all mankind. God bless us as we desire to be a blessing. Let our hearts be filled and enlarged with the deepest sympathy for the saving of souls, for the purposes of our Redeemer. Oh, let us be full of blessing and passion, and let the peoples praise you. Let us be filled. Let us want others to also know the Lord. One of the old writers puts it like this: oh, that we may be carried out to sea on the tide of God's blessings and his purposes, his yearnings, his pity, his compassion for the lost and for the nations. Amen.